Now, look, earlier this month, police swiftly crushed the plans of climate activists from Blockade Australia after they blocked the Sydney Harbour Tunnel and caused chaos in the CBD. Dozens in the group were arrested for planning or attending the peaceful protests that were deemed illegal by police. And last week, President of the New South Wales Council of Civil Liberties, Josh Pallas, spoke at a media conference hosted by Blockade Australia at Hyde Park. Pallas used the opportunity to show his support for climate activists as they face increasingly authoritarian repression. And he now joins me on the line. Josh, have I got you?
Yes, you do. Hello.
Brilliant. Hi. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you going?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Now, look, Josh, let's jump straight into it. We saw some pretty dramatic scenes of police raiding property and then forcefully arresting protesters in the city. Why do you think are police cracking down so hard on groups like Blockade Australia?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, the police are, in many respects, following the parliament's lead. So over the last couple of years, the parliament has been successively passing harsher and harsher laws when it comes to protesters. And some of those laws have particularly targeted protesters. And we know that from the speeches that ministers give when they're introducing those laws. So one of the ones that I'm thinking of a couple of years ago actually mentions mining interests and says that climate protests, people shouldn't be getting in the way of sort of mining interests. So I think really in many respects police are following the lead of the politicians, but it was pretty extraordinary to see those scenes at Colo.
Yeah.
Pretty unprecedented.
Very much so. And look, Josh, before we continue on any further, for those listening who aren't familiar with the New South Wales Council for Civil Liberties, what does your work involve? You're, of course, the chair and president of it.
Yeah. So we've been around since 1963.
Wow.
So we're one of the oldest consistent civil liberties and human rights voice in New South Wales. So we're a member-based organisation of people from all walks of life. There are a lot of lawyers and barristers, but there are teachers, philosophers, academics, tech people, just people generally interested in civil liberties and human rights. And we advocate on all sorts of issues. So protests have been one that we've been involved with since the 60s and 70s. We refer people to lawyers. We engage in sort of lobbying of parliamentarians and appearing at sort of parliamentary inquiries and things like that. So it's pretty broad, the work that we do, and seems like there's no shortage of issues at the moment for us to deal with.
Yeah, most definitely, unfortunately. But look, in your opinion, obviously you're one of the best people that we can probably talk to about this sort of situation. What are some ways the police are really suppressing climate action protesters?
Yeah, so I think what happened at Colo and with raids of camps and, you know, searches of people and all of that, that's bound to have a chilling effect on protest. So people who may otherwise be interested in engaging in sort of peaceful public assembly may see that and go, oh, geez, that's scary.
Mm.
I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be remanded in custody for thinking about going to a peaceful assembly. Or even for people who were arrested and then were given bail conditions. Some of those bail conditions were curfews, orders not to leave the house between certain times, orders not to associate with friends. All of those sorts of things I think are destined to have a chilling effect on people who want to engage in peaceful protest. I was just reading about a case in Italy where police are doing sort of similar things. They've gone and confiscated things like peace flags and books and leaflets just to do with sort of climate change.
Jeez.
So it's not something that's just happening here in Australia. There's sort of this crackdown on climate protesters happening all around the world, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, most definitely. And wow, it makes you really want to try and properly sit down and critically think about the situation that's happening at large. But, you know, it also can be argued that obviously considering the major disruptions that protesters, you know, have caused across Sydney, that, you know, some people could argue that the police's response is justified. Do you see that in any sort of way?
I understand the point, but in these circumstances, I don't think that the police response was justified. I don't think it's ever appropriate for a peaceful protester to wind up in jail, whether on remand or being sentenced. It's you know, disruption from time to time because people peacefully assemble in public is sort of part and parcel of living in a democracy.
Most definitely.
So it may be climate change today, but, you know, it could be that a local school is being shut down tomorrow and people want to take to the streets and block traffic to raise awareness about this local school being shut down, or, you know, there might be drainage issues or something like that. Like peaceful assembly is something that people can do on a whole range of issues. So, you know, whilst it might be a bit annoying, if you work in the city, getting to work, you think, oh, climate change is pretty remote. This is really annoying. I'm late for my meetings, this, that, and the other. Tomorrow or the next day, you might be wanting to do the same thing about a completely different issue. So
exactly,
there is sort of a broader picture at play.
Exactly. And, you know, in March this year, new protest laws were actually also introduced in New South Wales, carrying, you know, those harsher penalties of up to 2 years in jail and a $22,000 fine for disrupting major infrastructure. How do these new laws compare with protest laws in other countries around the world? I know you spoke about Italy earlier on. Is it the sort of same, you know, ballpark of punishment there?
Yeah, I mean, the situation overseas is in many respects worse. There are climate defenders who are disappearing in Brazil in parts of Europe. Climate defenders are being labelled as eco-terrorists.
God.
And they're actually being charged under terrorism laws. So, you know, it's what's happening in New South Wales is bad, but it's sort of a different magnitude. The policing response is sort of quite similar. But the fines are significant, and the fines are more significant than those contemplated in other states at the moment, even in states where there are clampdowns on protest.
So just for out of my curiosity, because I myself, you know, admittedly, I've been to quite a different number of protests that have all been very peaceful, most of which have been climate justice protests. And so my question is, and this might be really simple and I'm just like ignorant, but what makes the difference between, you know, when people are, you know, with these new laws that we've just spoken about that have been passed earlier on this year in March, is there a sort of way that you're supposed to go about organizing a protest with the government first before going through with it? Are these penalties specifically being geared towards people that are just doing a spontaneous thing without council approval or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there is no prohibition on peaceful assembly in New South Wales.
Okay.
But if you want to be protected, for blocking a road or something like that, you can put in an application to the Commissioner of Police under the Summary Offences Act. And if you put in an application and the Commissioner for Police doesn't respond within 7 days, it means that the protest is not unauthorised. But after you've put in that application, the Minister for Police might seek to have that protest declared unauthorised.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you go through that process and your protest is not unauthorised, you're generally protected as a protester, from, you know, blocking roads and offences of, you know, being a public nuisance and things like that. So these laws, are specifically targeting people who block pieces of infrastructure or major roads. In circumstances where protests aren't otherwise sort of allowed.
So they're unauthorised.
Summary Offences Act, yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, thank you so much for clearing that up for me because I was a little bit confused. But lastly, you know, I think, you know, we often get a little bit lost in the details here. Taking a bit of a step back, how important is the right to protest in a democracy such as ours?
It's really, really important. I think, I was at a rally last week where there was various speakers talking about the people who were in custody. from Blockade Australia's rally. And the guy from Amnesty International made the point that, like, under these laws, the suffragettes would never have been able to fight for women's right to vote.
Exactly.
The 78ers would never have been able to fight for queer liberation in Australia. So there's a whole raft of rights that we have now that were born in protest. Protest is sort of one of the fundamental fundamental rights that we have as democratic citizens to, you know, speak truth to our politicians and tell them when we're unhappy about things. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that with the climate crisis escalating, there's only going to be more peaceful protest, not less.
Exactly. I 100% agree with you. Well, thank you so much, Josh. You've really illuminated, broken it all down for us, and hopefully we can, you know, move forward and hopefully, you know, we'll just get back people that are trying to peacefully protest. It's not as if people are rioting. So I 100% thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me on the program.
That was Josh Pallas, the chair of the New South Wales Council for Civil Liberties, standing with climate protesters who says are facing unjust repression and charges. Very much, you know, a very hot topic, and very much needs to be, because, you know, climate change is real. It's only these protests, like Josh said, are only going to become more and more frequent. So hopefully we'd get the protection of these, you know, and protect the right to protest for our, you know, democracy.